Listen, bitch, most people don't realize it, but the biggest bully in their life isn't their ex. It's not their boss. It's not the algorithm or the devil trying to steal their joy. It's their own beliefs, like the quiet stories that we repeat without ever questioning. And then we wonder why life feels heavy, stuck, or like we're living 10 miles under our own potential. Half of us are out here praying for breakthrough while reinforcing the same old bullshit beliefs God's been trying to shake off of us for years. I can't do that. I don't deserve that. People like me don't ever get that. Like, says who? The trauma you survived at 15? A parent who didn't know how to nurture? A culture that benefits from you playing small? Or is it just easier to believe the lie than confront the truth? Today I'm talking about the beliefs that hold us back, the ones that sound reasonable but are actually sabotaging your future. And before you start shrinking in your chair, relax. We're not doing shame. We're not, we're gonna work on awareness, ownership, responsibility, and action. Because once you see the belief, you can replace it. And once you replace it, your whole life starts rearranging itself in your favor. So if we, how am I saying this? Nobody says this, but the stuff that is blocking us, you guys, it's not the economy. It's not the trauma that you went through, it's not your ex. It really is your beliefs, and these stories run on your default mode network in the background, like some annoying Windows update that refuses to install, but it just keeps popping up and just ruining your day. And most of our beliefs that we have, this is the worst part of the whole scenario, is that they're not even chosen. They're hand-me-downs. Do you understand? From parents, culture, teachers, church ladies, and survival seasons that are long over. But here we are, still living by them like it's the Ten Commandments instead of just old coping mechanisms. So I want to talk about four beliefs today that secretly choke out your dreams and how to dismantle them like an adult. Because some of y'all are out here like toddlers having tantrums, okay? The first belief is my dreams are unrealistic. I should probably tone it down. You guys have my book. Do you have my Once Upon a Time Bitches book? Because if you do, there's a chapter called Dream Big and then Dream Bigger. Really? This is just humility when you're telling yourself this story. And yeah, it sounds mature, it sounds responsible, it sounds reasonable, but like it's just sabotage wearing a costume because what you're really saying is, I don't believe I'm capable of living the life that I actually want, so I'll pretend not to want it. There is a fear underneath that belief. If I try and fail, then I'll have to feel the grief of not being enough. So better to not try at all, right? Wrong, bitch. Okay. That's how dreams die while your meat suit is still breathing. And this block is going to show up like you have this great intention. You're a chronic planner and you have zero execution. You daydream about what you want, how you want to spend your time, what you want to do, but you never commit. You shrink goals or don't even make goals to avoid disappointment. And then you spend your time building detours instead of roads. Dreams aren't achieved in leaps. They're achieved in stair steps. So write them down like a staircase, like step one, step two, step three, micro action, micro proof, micro win. And every step deserves celebration, not shame. So when replace that belief with, like, I'm allowed to pursue my dream step by step. Today counts. You guys, trying counts. God is not intimidated by the size of your dream. Heaven isn't running low on purpose assignments. The only shortage is belief. Step two, I shouldn't ask for what I want. It makes things awkward. This is just your inner kid crying. It's the emotional residue of don't rock the boat. Be polite. Don't be too much. Other people's feelings matter more than yours. Everyone else is allowed to have needs. That's what you're telling yourself. I'll just adapt. Are you never the one who picks the restaurant, saying I'm good all the time when clearly you're not? Are you the peacekeeper that never gets peace? Are you just resentful without ever being vocal? The fear here isn't conflict, it's rejection. What if they say no? What if they don't care? What if they're annoyed? You are responsible for what you need. They are responsible for what and how they feel about it. Start by asking for tiny things, like, again, micro requests, so we could build the confidence and the evidence. Can we talk? Actually, I don't like that. Here's what I need. My favorite, no thanks. Some people are going to adjust. Some people are going to push back, and their reaction tells you who respects you, not whether you should have asked. Okay. So the replacement belief for this is going to be my needs matter. Asking is not a burden. Saying it out loud is not aggression. This is one of my struggles, and I acknowledge that, and I take responsibility for that, and I'm working on that. I don't trust people. I'm done. And this feels powerful, but it's really like protective pessimism disguised as wisdom. And this started with an emotional wound, obviously, for me. You guys know, because you read my book, Once Upon a Time, Bitches. Maybe it's a betrayal or a breakup, a narcissist, a parent who couldn't show up, a friend who weaponized your vulnerability, and your brain is like, check, noted, never again. So yeah, that kept you safe then. But now it keeps you alone. So if you're the person that's expecting disappointment in advance, or you're always testing people or overanalyzing motives, you know, any form of intimacy or 10 feet away, self-sufficiency is a personality. You know, that hyper independence has become part of my identity. It that no one will ever hurt me again agreement also means no one will ever get to love me deeply either. So we don't start with trust. Now we start with discernment. Trust isn't earned in advance, it's earned over time. Let people reveal who they are slowly, observe, and don't outpace the evidence. We want to say relationships require investments. I can trust wisely, not blindly. God didn't build us to be untouchable. I mean, even Jesus had a circle. And yeah, one of them betrayed him, but the other 11 built the church. Okay, perspective matters. The last belief today, I'll never be financially secure. I don't make enough. Can we call this what this is? You guys just have this hopeless mindset about money. When you believe you're powerless financially, you stop making strategic decisions and you start making emotional ones. So maybe you avoid budgeting, Maybe you have financial anxiety. Maybe spending is an escape for you. What's the point mentality? Viewing money as an enemy instead of a tool. Your nervous system cannot thrive when your bank account feels like a trap. But this is the twist. Financial confidence doesn't come from wealth, it comes from stewardship. Okay. Pick one controllable number. Savings, debts, income, expenses, it doesn't matter. Money rewards clarity. So, like, for example, I save $20 a week. Tiny, sure, but at scale, tiny becomes evidence, and that's what you need right now. Evidence becomes confidence. Confidence then becomes your strategy. I have influence over my money. I can build stability one decision at a time. Say that to yourself. Your beliefs either bless your life or throttle it. They either partner with your calling or they sabotage it. Most limiting beliefs are expired. They served an old version of you, and it was necessary so we could thank them. But you get to decide if they get renewed or retired. Bless and release if you have to. So this is your homework. Identify one belief that you're done carrying. I want you to write down how it shows up and replace it with something rooted in truth and action. And then I want you to act like it's true for 7 days. Just act like it's true. Don't wait to feel ready. Belief follows behavior more than behavior follows belief. Okay? So if we're going to land the plane now, every belief you're carrying is either building your future or blocking it. And the wild thing is, God isn't sitting out there withholding destiny from you. Most of the time, he's waiting for you to stop agreeing with the bullshit lies the devil tells you because he never co-signed on that. So you can pray for breakthroughs all day long, but if your beliefs are still rooted in fear or unworthiness, and that's just how I am, like you're going to keep circling the same mountain. At some point, you have to decide that the old story doesn't make the rules anymore. Not after everything you've survived, not after everything God has walked you through. If you're brave enough to actually change, identify one belief that you're done living, call it out, write it down, and replace it with something true, something backed by evidence, something you can actually live out this week, not someday, not when you feel ready, not after your chaos settles, but now. Reflection without action is fake self-awareness. We're not doing fake. We're doing growth. We're doing obedience. We're doing responsibility, and we're doing it while God is very much still in the room. If you want to go deeper, your beliefs are loud and messy, and you need help untangling them. Coaching is where we do that. And if you're ready to take all of this and turn your mess into that powerful message, podcast, book, micro content, whatever. Also, my lane, please message me. I'll see you guys on the next episode. I love you. Stop wasting your life.